Hello, friends and folks, and welcome back to Romance of the Two Networks. I'm Six Detmar from Scanline Media.
I'm Jennifer Unkle from Scanline Media.
I'm Jackson Tyler from Abnormal Mapping.
And I'm Em, also from Abnormal Mapping.
And this week we're here with the saga of Lord Guan.
Yeah!
A.K.A. The Incredible Journey, A.K.A. Papers, Please. Call it what you will. You ever watch The Incredible Journey, that movie with the dogs?
Oh, you mean Homeward Bound?
Sure. Homeward Bound, colon, The Incredible Journey, yes.
Yes, I've seen it.
I've never heard of this movie before in my life.
That's fine.
Yeah, you're good. Let's just say that Chance is a real Zhang Fei, if you know what I mean.
I don't like this at all.
But I'm also right.
To move from one presumably very uncomfortable topic to another, the fuck does this have to do with Papers, Please?
This entire chapter is people asking Lord Guan for his papers.
I guess sure.
Yes. He goes through many outposts and has a time of it.
Yeah. I was thinking, like, on the south side of things, like, wait, that's not what Papers, Please is about. I guess he's, like, trying to find... But I guess the part where he does talk to everyone is like, hey, I'm Lord Guan, and they're like,
If you were Lord Guan, you'd have papers, and he's like, please, and then stabs them.
That's true. Think you'll find if I'm Lord Guan, I'd have a sword. And I do. So we're starting with chapter 25. Trapped on a hill, Lord Guan sets three conditions. At Baima, Cao Cao breaks the heavy siege.
Yeah, so Lord Guan's the only person left in town because Zhuan De went north and Zhang Fei's just gone. Who knows what happened to that guy? And so they're like, we're going to talk to him. And then they go to talk to him and he's like, okay, I will acquiesce and join Cao Cao with three conditions, as the title says. Those three conditions are he has his whole thing where he promised with everyone in the Peach Grove, right? Yeah.
Yes.
That he was going to serve Zhuan De. So he's upholding the House of Han. So he's only going to surrender the Emperor, not Cao Cao. That's very important. Second, his two sister-in-laws have to be treated well, given a home consideration. And no one can talk to them or bother them at all. And then third, whenever I learn where Liu Bei is, I'm leaving. And you're just going to have to let me go. I need to go serve him. That's my promise. It doesn't matter where he is or what he's doing. I'm leaving. And they're like, well, those first two are easy. That second one sucks. But Cao Cao thinks about it and decides, okay, I guess.
Buys us time to win him over. It'll be fine.
He's like, well, yeah, if I agree to it, but if I'm super nice, he won't. He just won't. He won't do it.
And so, yeah, Lord Guan goes back, and thus begins a saga of Cao Cao just being, like super nice, and Lord Guan, like, every encounter, Cao Cao's like, oh, here's a bunch of gifts, and he's like, wow, thanks, this is great, I'll have to give him back when I go find Zhuan De, though, and he's like...
The one thing I wanted to say before this is he gives him all of the stipulations, and Cao Cao agrees, and he goes back into Zhai Pi, and when he goes in, it's just, like, chill. The thing is, escorted by his own soldiers, Lord Guan entered Zhai Pi. He found the public order undisturbed, because you know who's good at holding shit down? It's Lord Guan.
It's true.
And
the part where he lets him go back into the town, there's a brief moment where they're like, that sounds like a scheme. Everyone, anyone else, that'd be a scheme. And basically they just turn to the advisor and go, we're not doing this. It's not a trap. It's clearly not a scheme. He's given us the terms. You're telling me Lord Guan's about to start lying to people now?
And while he's at the capital, he gets a bunch of things in addition to a really nice sack to hold his beard, because he doesn't really cut his beard, he just protects it during the winter. So while he's walking around the palace, the emperor sees the sack, he gets really curious, and Lord Guan just unfurls his beard, and the emperor is so impressed that he gives him the name Man of the Magnificent Beard.
He also, following up from last week, gives him a new horse.
Red hair's back!
Yep. I remember a few weeks ago when you were like, well, is red hair going to show up again? And I'm like, I don't know. Who can say?
And this is another one of those moments where he's like, oh, your horse seems kind of like you're having a hard time. It's like, oh, yeah. And Lord Guan's like, yeah, it's because I suck so much. He's like, what about if I gave you the best horse ever? And Lord Guan's like, wow, thank you so much. This will be so fast for when I go meet Xuanda again. Sasa's like,
Definitely, like, you didn't bow for any of the other things. He just won't stop bowing for this horse. And Sasa's like, ah, shit, I fucked up. I gave him the thing.
So then they have the idea that the best way to keep him from leaving is if he ever decides it's time to leave, to make sure that he doesn't have the opportunity to tell anyone he's leaving, because a man so bound by propriety would not leave without letting his host know that he has to go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They do have a quick moment where they're like, wait, I got a great idea. What if Xuanda's dead? And he's like, I guess I'd have to kill myself then. And they're like, okay, we'll cross that one off the list. but yeah, no, it is, they're like, okay, well, first he says he needs to pay us back for all our kindness. So just don't let him do anything. If he's ever like, hey, I can help, just say no. Just send him home. And so there's a lot of like military action, and Lord Guan shows up and he's like, hey, I could help with that. And he's like, oh no, we couldn't possibly. Please go home and don't repay that favor just yet.
Yep.
Yeah. At some point though, Cao Cao's army is getting so battered by Yuan Shao's forces that they end up sending for Lord Guan anyway, and he just rides out, instantly beheads the person that was giving them trouble, and brings the head back. Cao Cao's like, wow, I've never seen anyone do anything like that. Lord Guan's like, eh, my brother Zhang Fei could do that with someone 10 times as big. And then Cao Cao stage whispers to his advisors, if we ever run into Zhang Fei, run.
Do not pursue. For the record, no, he fucking couldn't. This is very nice of Lord Guan to say. Zhang Fei could not do that.
The thing is, Yuan Shou also gets news that his general was beheaded by Lord Guan, and then turns to Xuanda and like, that's your guy. What's going on here? And now Xuanda is facing his death.
I bet he's not.
Your brother has killed my beloved commander. I am certain you were involved. What am I keeping you for? Then chapter 26, Yuan Shao loses a battle and another general. Lord Guan returns his official seal. And Xuanda is like, no, I'm not involved. He's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, there's a bunch of people who look like Lord Guan, so I think that your messenger may have misseen something.
Which is funny in that, like, the thing he says, which is that there's a lot of big guys with beards, which is true. That is true. But Lord Guan is described as being, like, 9 feet tall in this book, and obviously that's not like true historically, but in the way this book presents it, you're not gonna mistake Lord Guan for someone else.
He's 9 feet tall with a green dragon sword and the greatest horse who ever lived. It's like, I wonder which one it is.
Yeah. The book takes great delight in editorializing things we already knew about Yuan Shou here, which says, Yuan Shou, who was basically a man with little mind of his own, reacted by rebuking Zhu Shou.
Yeah, his just immediately like, oh, okay, someone told me that was wrong. Okay, there's a thing that sometimes when Alan and I are having an argument and we're not like, it's not like a serious argument, but neither of us are getting anywhere, one of us will say, oh, I didn't realize I was wrong, sorry. It just feels very much like that to me.
So then Yuan Shou goes out to battle. Xuanda's like, I'll go with the army, and then I can deal with Lord Guan myself. He'll listen to me. We're friends. And then Wen Shou, the only person who's been reading along, is like, Xuanda hasn't won a single battle. He's only here because he lost everything. Please send more men.
Yes. He's not a good general.
Lord Guan, for his stunning victory, gets to be Lord of Hanshou, and he gets the seal. And he's like, okay, great. And Cao Cao's campaign against Yuan Shao is going, you know, back and forth, but you know, he keeps asking for help from Lord Guan, and Lord Guan keeps stepping up and getting it done. And then, once again, we had another moment of Lord Guan killing a beloved general, and Yuan Shao's like, oh my god, I can't, this was definitely Lord Guan this time, and he was like, how dare you? And Xuanda's like, okay, probably this is a scheme by Cao Cao, and Yuan Shao goes, of course! How foolish am I been?
Every time he turns to his advisor, like, how could you let me almost execute this clearly exemplary man? I'm like, Yuan Shao, come on. Come on, dude.
And he get, and like every time he also like promotes Xuanda for this. He's like, first he's like, oh, you're right, and invites him to his inner council, and the second time he's like, please take a seat of honor in my tent for having your brother kill my best general. How is this guy around still?
Yeah. At some point during that last skirmish, Xuanda noticed Lord Guan's banner, so he arranges a secret message to be sent out to Lord Guan whenever it's next feasible. And that ends up happening because Cao Cao once again sends him out on a campaign, even though his advisor, Jun Wenro, is like, hey, you keep doing this, and he'll probably just leave as soon as he sees Xuanda. And Cao Cao is okay. Like, okay, this time is the last time, for real.
Unfortunately, it was one time too many.
Yes.
Because Lord Guan goes out and he meets Gongdu in battle, and Gongdu's like, why are you fighting against your own lords? And Lord Guan's like, what are you talking about? He's like, are you paying no attention to anything Xuan does on our side? And Lord Guan's like, oh, okay, let me pretend to lose. Sorry, my bad.
Yes.
And so then, yeah, he's like, okay, well, great. Now I need to figure out how to leave in a respectful way. And this is when Cao Cao comes up with the plan of hanging the sleeping do not disturb sign on his hotel door.
Yeah, brilliant strategist Cao Cao's whole plan is just being away anytime someone tells him that Lord Guan is coming to his house.
Tell him I'm not home for like 3 weeks.
Yeah, so eventually Lord Guan loses his patience and writes a letter being like, well, I tried to reach you, but you weren't ever there, so I'm leaving everything you gave me here except for red hair, because that horse is cool as hell, and I'm hanging all my imperial office, like the jade seal that he has, well, not the jade seal, the official seal that he has in your hall, and I'm just gonna peace out, so see you later.
I will return every bribe but the coolest. And Cao Cao is sitting in his room, sitting in his office, thinking about how to deal with this, when Lord Guan's letter shows up. He's like, oh shit, I didn't figure he'd write a letter, fuck. And so his guys are like, well, listen, just give me 1,000 horsemen and I'll go chase him down. And Cao Cao's like, we had a deal. I don't think we could do that. We gotta let him go. This sucks, but we gotta let him go.
Yeah, that brings us to chapter 27. The Man of the Magnificent Beard rides alone 1,000 li. The Lord of Hanshou slays 6 generals and breaches 5 passes.
The incredible journey. He does end up sending Zhang Liao after him, but he's like, listen, don't try and stop him. Just give him like one last present so that next time he meets us, he'll remember us and feel bad about trying to kill us, basically. So he sends his men after him, and he's like, okay, here you go. Like, thanks. I wanted to send you all these nice things. I wanted to send you this coat. And Lord Guan's like, thank you for the coat, and like picks it up with the edge of his sword and drops it over his back. He's like, okay, bye.
Yes.
Cao Cao's men are incised, and Cao Cao's like, listen, he just knows how this goes. He thought it was likely we would try to fuck him over. I can't begrudge him that, because we nearly did, but let's just let him go. And so Lord Guan rides off, trying to catch up with the carriage which has his sister-in-law, when he bumps into Hua Liao, who is just this yellow scarf, actually. And he's like, hey, so we captured a carriage, and there were apparently Shwanda's wives were in there. So I was like, hey, we should give him back. And my co-commander was like, no. So I killed him, and I'm here to be like, here's where the ladies are. Please don't murder me.
And then he's like, I'll join you. You seem cool. And he's like, no, you're a yellow scarf. Absolutely not. You're not honorable enough.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, okay, well, all right. I guess bye then. And Lord Guan rides on, and he arrives at Dongling Pass, guarded by Commander Kong Xiu and 500 men. Who's like, oh, hey, Lord Guan, great to see you. What brings you here? And Lord Guan's like, oh, you know, just said goodbye to the Prime Minister, had a great talk, but I'm going to go north and find Shwanda. And he's like, okay, sure. Just, can I see your papers real quick? And he's like, I don't have papers. I was kind of in a hurry. And he's like, okay, that's no problem. Just leave me Shwanda's wives as hostages. Lord Guan just draws his sword, like, fucking fuck this.
Yeah, he that cuts down Kong Xiu in one blow and tells the rest of the men, hey, my beef was just with this guy who wouldn't let me pass, so I'm going to spare everyone here. Just let me go on my way.
This guy was a real dick. He just threatened to kidnap these wives. I'm going to be passing through now.
And also maybe tell Sao that I'm sorry.
Yeah, like, my bad. And he's like, okay, rides on, gets to the next checkpoint. He'd written a letter to Hong Fu, who he'd you know, already... He was aware of Hong Fu, and he's like, okay, great. This will be fine. And Hong Fu's captain, Meng Tan, is like, okay, hi, welcome. Welcome to our checkpoint. What's going on? Can I see your papers? Lord Guan's like, fucking... I don't have papers. And so he's like, well, listen, if you don't have papers, that makes you like a fugitive. And Lord Guan's like, listen, I just killed Kong Xiu. Do you really want to do this? And Meng Tang's like, absolutely, and then gets decapitated.
I would love to get my head cut off right now. I can't wait.
And so Han Fu is like, oh shit, and shoots Lord Guan in the arm. And so Han Fu pulls the bolt out with his teeth, runs for him, and then cuts his head off. And he's like, okay, fine. Clearly, like, ties up his wound. He's like, all right, clearly we've settled this. Let's move on. Let's go to the fort of Bianchi, who used to be a yellow scarf, and he's changed his ways. Clearly, he'll be honorable, right? And indeed, when he arrives, Bianchi's like, "Oh, great, welcome, great to see you. The realm reveres your name. It's amazing, and I'm so impressed by your loyalty of returning to Shwanda. You seem like such a good dude." And also, hey, I heard about what happened. Not your fault. Listen, I'll tell Cao Cao. Totally cool. Those guys were dicks. Come on in. Have something to eat. And one of the people in his service is a monk who's nearby who used to live in the same village as Lord Guan. And he's like, oh, hey, let's chat. Bianchi is like, I don't know if you should be chatting. He's like, please, we're just trying to catch up. And the monk pulls him aside and then sort of like pulls out his ceremonial dagger and just stares Lord Guan dead in the eye. And Lord Guan's like, oh, okay. Yes. And so Bianchi starts to escort him to the banquet. And Lord Guan's like, hey, is this invitation on the level? Because he's already seen the ambush. And, And then Bianchi calls his men, and Lord Guan cuts them all down and then cuts Bianji in half. And then he turns to the monk and he's like, hey, thank you. And the monk's like, I'm gonna get out of here, but, you know, take care of yourself.
On to the next general who's gonna lose their life.
Right. On to Wang Shi, governor of Yingyang, who is like, hey, great to see you. Must be so tired, especially the ladies. You should stay the night. It'll be totally cool. I'm going to have a great dinner for you. And Lord Guan goes to dinner and he's on his guard and he's like, oh, wait, actually, that was fine. That was great. Okay, great. Let's retire for the night. And Wang Shi's like, okay, great. Lord Guan's going down for the night. Burn his house down. I want 1,000 men with fire. quote, I don't care who dies in there.
He says, specifically, I want you to put 1,000 men around his quarters, each with an unlit torch. That's, how big have those quarters got to be? 1,000 men, just, dude.
Just layers and layers of fire. That's, whew. And so his lieutenant is like, okay, got it. And he starts arranging his men. And he's like, I heard about Lord Guan. I wonder if he's cute. And so he sneaks in and peeks and sees Lord Guan just sitting at a desk stroking his beard. And he's like, God damn, that dude is hot. And Lord Guan's like, wait, who said that? And Huban's like, oh, sorry, you knew my dad, we were gonna kill you, but you look really cool, so you should probably get out of here. So Lord Guan sort of mounts up and gets ready, and he sees the glow of 1,000 torches. And Wang Shi's like, hey, stop, don't go any further. And Lord Guan's like, the fuck is wrong with you? I didn't do anything to you and you're gonna burn me to death? And Wang Shi has no words, but he charges and then gets cut in half. And Lord Guan's like, all right, well, let's keep going. He heads on and he goes to the boundary of Huazhou and meets Lu Yan, who was like, he's like, oh, governor, how have you been? And the governor's like, oh, great to see you. Where are you headed? And Lord Guan internally is just like, okay, here we go. I'm gonna go meet Xuanda, you know, my lord, because he's with the prime minister's enemy, but, you know, I've sworn a vow. And the governor's like, that's weird. It's strange that Cao Cao would allow that. He's like, well, listen, we agreed to this long ago. It's not a big deal. And the governor's like, I don't think I can help you with this. I'm sorry, but I just can't do it. And so Lord Guan moves nearby and meets King Qi. And is like, hey, I'm trying to go find, get across this water to get to Xuanda. And he's like, okay, great. Where are your papers?
Lord Guan almost immediately is like, oh, fuck this. And almost immediately beheads him after a quick back and forth being like, so you're not going to let me pass either. Okay. We'll do this now.
Yeah, he's like, listen, I've got an order to guard this point. A pair of wings couldn't get you through. And Lord Guan's like, motherfucker, do you know how many people I've killed in the last 2 days? And just, yeah, cuts his head off. And he's like, listen, troops, calm down. This guy was a dick. I'm getting really good at this speech. This guy was a dick. Now he's dead. You're fine. Just stay out of my way. Give me a boat. And so, all in all, he crosses the river, and after 5 checkpoints and 6 commanders, finally he has arrived in Yuan Shao's territory.
Hooray!
And Lord Guan's like, man, Sasa's gonna be pissed. And indeed, he is interrupted by a single rider shouting, Lord Guan, go no further! And it's Sun Qian, and he's like, hey, you've been busy. What's going on? And Lord Guan's like, oh, you know, I was on my way to meet Xuanda and decapitated everyone who tried to stop me. And he's like, dude, Schmidt is not even here anymore. What took you so long?
Yeah, in the meantime, while Lord Guan was going through all these people, Xuanda had finally left Yuan Shou because it turns out having your life threatened every few days or so, and then immediately being like, that's not the case, and them changing their mind, that's not someone you want to be around for very long. So Xuanda packs his things and gets out of there.
And Lord Guan's like, all right, well, I guess it's time to head to Runan and meet up with Xuanda there. And he'd hardly set out when a squad of men, obscured by dust, accosted them from behind. It was Xia Hao Dun. Do not advance, he cried. So, yeah, it turns out after 5 checkpoints and 6 commanders, the list is not over. Let's start anew. These chapters were a real breezy read just because it's just one continuous flow of Lord Guan cutting in people in half for 3 chapters.
It's so good. There weren't much bouncing around here. It's all Lord Guan time as he's just fucking about with Cao Cao, which is all incredible. Like, the back and forth between Cao Cao and Lord Guan of, like, who can be the most loyal is very good. And Cao Cao being like, okay, can I get Lord Guan to, like, completely abandon his loyalty, but, like, keep it on the level myself? I don't want to do anything untoward, so it has to all be above board shit, but there has to be a way. There was not a way. You can't do it. You can't do it, man.
And he's, he finally is just like, okay, let's just make him feel bad before he kills me next time. Is his final compromise. And then just, like, this parade of fucking middle managers who have, I know loyalties and everything, but there has to be some degree of self-preservation. The 4th commander has to be like, listen, I'm sure Cao Cao will forgive me for not choosing to get decapitated here. Or at least sending some of my men to die and saving myself. It seems like there's a better way this could have gone for these folks.
Yep. The book is good. It is a good book.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a great time reading through it again.
I feel like Lord Guan's the coolest person in this book, right?
I love Lord Guan. He is up there.
He's sick as hell.
Here is a statue of Lord Guan that is in a park in China called Guan Yu Park. So,
all right. Well, yeah. I guess they love that guy over there. That's fair. Wow, he looks so cool.
I know. Isn't that the coolest thing in the world?
That is the coolest thing in the world.
If I was about to burn that guy alive and I saw that beard, I'd be like, shit, never mind.
Fucking look at that. That's so cool.
Some of Cao Cao's strategies in these chapters are impressive in their own way. Like, there's a part where he's sending his army out to face Yuan Shao again, and they're like, he's like, I'm sick and tired of my grain being stolen, so this time I'm putting the grain people in front and the regular army in the back. Let's just see what happens. And of course, the grain gets stolen, so his counterattack is having his men take off their armor and spread their horses all around, so Yuan Shao's army is just like, oh, hey, free horses. Everyone go and get them. And that ends very poorly for them because they're running in such a... they're so disorganized that they easily get taken over by Cao Cao's... by Cao Cao just having a plan and moving everyone in orderly fashion to take out these people scrambling.
Yeah, Cao Cao is like a good strategist in this story.
The problem is he thinks everyone is like him.
Yeah.
But we do get the great sequence of just the series of, like, attempted bribes. Like, he sends 10 gorgeous ladies to Lord Guan, and he's like, okay, great, these will be great attendants for my sisters-in-law. And Cao Cao's like, wow, you're so honorable, damn it.
Yep.
Man, just getting owned over and over until, like, I, honestly, kudos to him for at least being the one among all his advisors and everything to realize, like, okay, there is no win scenario here. I just have to let go.
Yeah, like, the thing with Southside in this that, like, makes it interesting is that he's not lying when he's, like, impressed with Lord Guan's honor, right? Like, he is genuinely impressed. It sucks that he can't win him over for his own cause, but he's like, man, Lord Guan, just unbeatable, peerless, so cool.
If only Xuanda weren't the only other hero and left in this country,
it's true.
This would go great for me. Yuan Shao's got to die soon, right?
You would think.
Not me.
He's never done a single competent thing.
You would think.
Biggest army.
It's true. That's, I guess it is competent to have a big army.
I'd like to point you to the real human world. I guess this is also the real human world. I'd like to point you to this history and, in fact, all other history.
Okay, fair enough. But I just, you know, I don't know. I guess the other thing is he waffles so much that he's good at not pissing people off enough to kill him. Because every time they're like, wait, you shouldn't be mad at me. He's like, you're right, I shouldn't be mad at you.
I mean, we will be a quarter of the way through this book next week. So things are moving.
If he lasts into the second, like, tome, if he lasts into volume part two of this book, I will buy you all a pizza.
Hooray. Well,
fair enough.
and Jackson just went, okay, I know, free pizza, great. All right, any other closing thoughts from us?
Lord Guan's a hero. I love him the most.
I love him.
I'm gonna be real sad when he doesn't matter and dies in 300 pages or whatever.
It's gonna be a real bummer. He's gonna die a hero's death. He has to.
You know, but, like, he definitely doesn't matter. Like, there's no way this guy is going to go on and be, like, the final players here.
Well, sure, he has no ambition is the problem.
And also, he's willing to take a bullet for Xuanda, and everyone wants to kill Xuanda.
he's willing to take a bullet for Xuanda, and Xuanda is the most willing to be shot at. All right, well, let's go ahead and kick it to our plugs here. Jackson, take it away.
Yeah, you can find me at HeadfulsOff on Twitter. You can find the podcast that me and Em do at abnormalmapping.com.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at EM_being. If you want to listen to a podcast about some nice, chill movies, we have our episode on Kiki's Delivery Service going up for And Then an Aeroplane. You can find that at abnormalmapping.com. I think it's a really good episode. It's maybe not what people would expect talking about Kiki's Delivery Service.
It's such a great movie. It's such a nice chill movie.
Is it what I would expect chatting about Kiki's Delivery Service?
It's what you would expect me and Autumn talking about Kiki's Delivery Service to be, yes.
Okay.
You can find me at JBU3 on Twitter. Most of my work is on scanlinemedia.com or patreon.com/scanlinemedia. And occasionally we do streams at twitch.tv/scanlinemedia. And, at some point we're looking at bringing back Novel Not New, but we're still working on that.
Yeah, we put out a call for an application. We were like, hey, maybe someone will want to do this with us. Turns out a lot of people are willing to do this with us, which is unexpected. So we gotta sort through some people signing up.
That's a good problem to have, though.
It is, just a new one. Not a problem I've literally ever had to deal with before.
Fair enough. We also got new art.
We did.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
Yeah.
Everyone can remember Vauxhall Beethoven.
Yeah, no one remembers Von Gold Game, but it is deep abnormal mapping lore.
In that it's literally a thing we stole from Idle Thumbs because we thought no one would care.
This is back when no one listened to us.
No, and I mean, to be fair, Idle Thumbs didn't invent the Beethoven part.
No, that was actually me.
Yeah, that was you.
I do like how our two different network aesthetics are so well represented.
Yeah.
So,
you know, I don't necessarily think that is I think it's as thematically representative of our network as you having an anime girl is of yours.
The part where multiple episodes have been Six talking about Gundam is absolutely our aesthetic, though. That's what happened.
That's true.
Gundam seeps into every place it can.
Listen, I didn't think it would be appropriate to just have, like, the RX-78-2 be behind Scanline Chan. That didn't seem
what
right.
What I'm saying is, what if Granddaddy Gundam had a beard it had to keep in a sack?
Oh, shit!
Shit, yes.
Now I'm going to be thinking about that for the rest of the day. All right, if you want to find me, I'm on Twitter at sixstepmar, S-A-X-D-E-T-T-M-A-R, and otherwise, you've already heard where to find me for everything else.
Yeah. We'll be back next week with three more of these.
Read on. Read on.
Read on.